Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Canty and Carlin.
I hope that's a liquid exfoliator, not one of those like really hard, coarse ones that end up making you break out even more after you use them. I'm not quite sure what Diana Russini is using, but her skin always looks great. So we're just going to defer to Diana going forward. Carlin will look great in no time. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells holding it down at the start of a new week for the guys. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can tweet to us at Courtney R. Cronin is my handle. At Mike Wells NFL is Mike's. You can also hit us up on the CC call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we're just going on a month now of the Kevin Durant having asked out of Boston, or having asked out of Brooklyn. Now the Boston Celtics emerge as a potential team that could trade for his services. Earlier this morning, it was a 2:30 a.m. Eastern time Woj bomb that came out that Boston would be interested in trading for Kevin Durant. How did they enter the mix? Well, let's have Woj tell you himself. Here he is on SportsCenter.
Like everyone else, they called Brooklyn once it was revealed that Kevin Durant had asked for a trade back on June 30th. And, you know, I think like other teams who look at their makeup, where they are in terms of their championship pursuit, and do we have the assets that might interest Brooklyn? And could bringing Kevin Durant in put us over the top? I think the answers for the Celtics on all those questions are yes. But of course, at what cost, what price for Boston?
That was ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski explaining how Boston got into the KD sweepstakes. And to Woj's point, Mike, they do have the assets. They have three tradable first-round draft picks the next 3 years. They've got two swaps that they could do, 2024 and 2026. They also have Jaylen Brown, who appears to be at the center of a potential trade for Kevin Durant. But according to Jaylen Brown's Twitter account, assuming he's referring to all of this like we think he is, doesn't sound like he's too thrilled with the idea, says SMH, which means shaking my head, that his name is now getting thrown into the trade fodder here. Mike, what was your initial reaction hearing that the Boston Celtics could get in the mix for KD?
I asked myself, why? Why would the Celtics, a team that had the Golden State Warriors on the ropes 2-1 in the NBA Finals, having that young core in Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, pieces all sit there. They go out and trade and get a starting point guard and Malcolm Brogdon from the Indiana Pacers. Why would they want to get Kevin Durant? And I'm not knocking KD. KD is one of the, you know, top two or three players in the world today. But my question is, my issue is his age. Mm-hmm. They have their core pieces there. Boston is set up for success today, tomorrow, next year, 5 years down the line. They have things there where they can continue to be successful. Kevin Durant is in his 30s right now. He's not on the downhill of his career, but unless the Boston Celtics are going to win the championship in the next year or two with Kevin Durant, why break up what is a very strong core? So I woke up and I saw the Woj bomb at about 6 a.m. and I kind of shook my head. I was like, why would they do it? I was kind of like Jaylen Brown with that tweet, Courtney. You know, instead of saying SMH, I was just like, why? I just questioned it. So that was my initial reaction when Woj broke the news off of it, and I saw it in the wee hours of the morning. Why would a Brad Stevens in the front office say, let's try to potentially break up this group we have and try to get KD and win a championship next season, even though, you know, Jaylen is, you know, seven years younger than Kevin Durant?
Yeah, he's 25, and I think that I had a similar reaction too, because you look back a month ago, this is a team that had the Warriors taken all the way to six games of the NBA Finals. And kind of like the Warriors, which has been my rationale and logic for Golden State to not go after Kevin Durant, you have to give up so much of your roster to get him. So it's the short-term game versus blowing up what you were doing for the with a long-term approach. Now, in that short term, could you win a championship? I think Boston could certainly, Golden State and Boston, but since we're talking Boston, they could certainly make a case to do that. I think we all agree that they were a piece away from getting there this past, these past NBA finals, and Jason Tatum, needing to ask more of himself, but also not being able to get the most out of the roster the way that it was constructed. Now, they did make moves in free agency. The reason I like their moves, like you had mentioned, Malcolm Brogdon, they finally have a traditional point guard coming to Boston. They didn't have to tear apart their core in order to facilitate that move from taking place. So if Kevin Durant's going to join the Boston Celtics, you've got to ask yourselves, is Jaylen Brown enough for the Brooklyn Nets in order to pull the strings to make this trade happen? I say no. I feel like they would have to throw Marcus Smart into the mix there, potentially even more draft capital. So you're not only giving away a huge part of what you do on the defensive end now, and a very capable player at that, he was Defensive Player of the Year not that long ago, you're probably having to do way more just to be able to bring a player of KD's caliber into the fold. And you already have a really good thing growing. Like, you know, right now, the way that this Boston Celtics team is constructed, this is a team who might be able to contend for the next 5, 6, 7 years because of where these players are in the prime of their careers.
Yeah, yeah, I'm in 100% agreement on that. And if I'm Brooklyn, I'm starting to say, okay, you know, a question like you just said, is Jaylen Brown enough? Maybe, you know, sprinkling that Marcus Smart into the deal, is that enough to kind of get what should be? I think when the news broke a month ago, we thought that Brooklyn was going to be able to clean house, all of like what Utah did when they traded Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And now, as time has gone on and things have been kind of lukewarm, and then, you know, once DeAndre Ayton, the Phoenix Suns matched their deal with him for the Indiana Pacers threw out there, and you saw that, okay, the window of trying to maybe get that complete, you know, back up the U-Haul truck and just load up with as many young pieces and draft picks as possible for Brooklyn may not happen. It may look like, okay, they're going to not desperate because Jaylen Brown's a hell of a player, but still not get, you know, that overhaul that they originally thought when the news broke a month ago.
Yeah, so Jaylen Brown right now at the center of these trade talks, it feels like it would probably take more than just him at the center of this trade in order for that to be facilitated. But this does kind of express a little bit of maybe desperation in terms of the Brooklyn Nets, considering there are two teams that feel like viable options for Kevin Durant and the trade package that the Brooklyn Nets could put together here, and that would be Boston and Miami. As you had mentioned, Phoenix matched DeAndre Ayton's offer sheet. He's not a tradable asset for them until January 15th next year. So it does feel like maybe they've taken themselves out of the KD mix because of some of the things that would preclude them from using their best tradable asset in an offer. So if it's down to like two teams, what do you think would be the better deal? Like, you know, if you're looking at players you'd be sending back from Miami potentially to the Brooklyn Nets, I mean, we know who he wants to play with. He wants to play with Jimmy Butler. He wants to play with Bam Adebayo. He wants to play with Kyle Lowry. So, like, are you starting to look at centering a package around Tyler Hero? And then you have to ask yourself again, what would be enough compensation to send back to the Boston Celtics in exchange for Kevin Durant coming here? And that as constructed is an older team than what the Boston Celtics currently are.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn is in a very tough position because this is not a case where Brooklyn is went into the offseason wanting to trade Kevin Durant. It was Kevin Durant who went to them, to the front office, and said, hey, I would like to play elsewhere next season. So it's a player that doesn't want to be part of the organization. And so then the organization has to be as selfish as possible as they look to get returns, because the reality is the Brooklyn Nets, who went into the 2021 season as title contenders with Kyrie, KD and James Harden now is in potential of a rebuild mode where they're going to have to just essentially just kind of blow it all up and with young players, get young players, get draft picks. So they, I don't mind them being patient. If they got to go into the regular season with Kevin Durant on the roster, Courtney, more power to them. Because don't just make a trade just to make a trade to, you know, to appease the player. You got to be selfish here.
So what would it take? How much would be enough for Kevin Durant? We're going to get into that coming up next after I tell you this from Indeed. The 2022 baseball season is in full swing, and you can be there to catch all of the action live with Vivid Seats. Get out to the ballpark and experience every home run, every web gem, every walk-off. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you'll start earning free tickets from your very purchase. Buy 10 tickets, get the 11th one free. That's like getting 10% back on every ticket from the box seats to the bleachers. Vivid Seats has you covered with tickets at great prices all summer long. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
It has been really quiet of late on the Kevin Durant watch. Woj finally gave us a little nugget. He said the Boston Celtics now are in the mix.
That's just like you got mama sweet potato pie. In the pan that somebody cut off and they ate all the pie. It's only a tiny piece. And you taste that pie and you want more. See, the Boston Celtics, they tasted that success. They went to the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant is the whole sweet potato pie. They want all of it.
Could bringing Kevin Durant in put us over the top? I think the answer is for the Celtics, yes. But of course, at what cost, what price for Boston?
Danny and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells, hanging out for the guys on this Monday afternoon. Let's tap in now with Frank Isola. He's from Around the Horn and Sirius XM NBA Radio to break down a little bit more of the potential KD to Boston trade. Frank, thanks so much for the time. I'm going to start there. Should Boston aggressively pursue Kevin Durant?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I'm going to start right here, though. How you guys doing? Courtney's the new rising star at ESPN. She holds her own with Chris Russo. As Chris would say, that's a good job by you there, Courtney. And I'll guarantee you that Mike Wells, who I've known for a million years, I knew when he was a pup covering the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'll guarantee you he has said Kevin Garnett mistakenly instead of Kevin Durant at least one time during the show. Be honest,
man,
Mike.
Actually, it was like 2 weeks ago when the news broke. I truly said, because I was comparing KG, you know, staying loyal to the Minnesota Timberwolves instead of saying Kevin Durant. I probably did it four times in the show, Frank, and you're right, Courtney. I've known Frank for I've known Frank for 20 years now since I first started covering the NBA. Yeah. So we go way back. He set me up with a Trail Sprewell, so that tells you how far back Frank and I go, Court.
That is awesome.
As they say, Courtney, I opened the books. It was like the mafia. I told I told the Trail that Mike Wells is a friend of ours, and then he was good to go. But getting back to your original question, you know, it's interesting. I do a radio show with Brian Scalabrine in the morning, and it was on June 24th. Now, this was before Kevin Durant. The story came out from Adrian Wojnarowski that Kevin Durant had asked the Nets to trade him. Brian had said the deal that would make the most sense if Kevin Durant doesn't want to be there anymore would be the Boston Celtics trading. He said at the time Jaylen Brown, Daniel Tice, 3 first-round picks and 2 rights to swap. Now, obviously, Tice has since been traded. They would have to include somebody else. But the one thing about a trade for Jaylen Brown, which would satisfy the Nets, is, you know, the Nets aren't looking to, you know, usually when you're trading your superstar, you're kind of starting over again. But because the Nets have so many of their first-round draft picks headed to the Houston Rockets, they're looking to remain competitive. So they went out and they got T.J. Warren, and they went out and they got Royce O'Neal from the Utah Jazz. So they're looking not only to get picks, but they want players, a player like Jaylen Brown, a budding, you know, star in the league that they could plug right in and still remain competitive next season.
Frank, when you look at it from the Boston perspective, obviously, you know, Jaylen is in his mid-20s. KD is, you know, what, 33, 34 years old. With Boston, why would they want to break up what could be a team that could be successful for the next 5-6 years to think more in the short term? Because what's KD can maybe take play at his peak, what, 3-4 more years? Why would, from Boston's perspective, why pull that off? Try to make that happen.
I know. And, you know, the one thing about Kevin Durant, I do their games on the YES Network. You know, obviously the guy is a brilliant player, but he has missed a lot of games the last 3 seasons. Obviously the one full season recovering from the Achilles injury, but the next 2 years in Brooklyn, he did miss a lot of games. Now, he was great last season during the regular season. He had a, you know, they had the best record in the league until one of his teammates rolled into his knee and then the whole thing fell apart. And then he didn't play that well in the playoffs. Now, I get it. Boston was kind of loading up on him, but he did not have a great playoff. If I'm the Boston Celtics, if I have to give up Jaylen Brown and another starter, somebody like Marcus Smart, I don't know about that if I'm them. But my only thing with Boston would be maybe they think that Jaylen Brown, and obviously we've already seen the way that he's responded to hearing his name out there. He sent out the tweet that, you know, shaking my head. Maybe they think in 2 years when Jaylen Brown is a free agent that he's going to leave. And maybe they're thinking, let's get something for him now as opposed to waiting, because what's gone on the last couple of years, he's heard his name been mentioned a couple of times, and I have no idea, maybe behind the scenes there's some petty jealousy between he and Jason Tatum. You never know about that stuff. So maybe the Celtics are thinking, we'll be better right this minute if we bring in Kevin Durant, and then we'll deal with it down the road, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, add another player later on.
Frank Iasola from Around the Horn and Sirius XM NBA Radio joins Courtney Cronin and Mike Wells on Canty and Carlin. Isn't that the same argument that we've been making about the Warriors, though, that the short-term gain very well could result in a championship, but the way that that roster is constructed and the way that the Boston Celtics roster is constructed is very similar. Like, they built through the draft these last couple years, and they have a team that has a championship window it could contend for the next 5, maybe even 7-8 years. Like, they'd be blowing it up potentially for a championship this next year, but Kevin Durant's 34 years old this season. Like, how do you think that Boston is weighing the short-term burst that it could get from KD versus, like, all the work that they've done the last few years with Brad Stevens now in a different role helping guide the construction of this roster to not having to start over 2 years from now if he ends up hanging it up in a couple years?
No, I think those are good points. During the NBA Finals up in Boston, you know, the shirts that they were handing out, they were focused on winning that 18th title. And that became like a big theme about getting that next title. And I get it. Every team wants to win, but there are organizations that are obsessed with it. Obviously, the Lakers are one. I think Pat Riley is the same way. And I think, you know, if you can get a player like Kevin Durant, I think for Brad Stevens, you know, I think it's hard to turn down. But again, at what cost? Because to your point, Courtney, you know, they did have a 2-1 series lead on the Golden State Warriors, and they had a lead in the fourth quarter. It wasn't until Steph Curry, probably under the circumstances, put together the most crucial and critical performance of his life, he got the series even. Then, of course, they go on to win games 5 and 6. So they were right there. And I thought Tatum kind of wore down a little bit. You know, he'd been playing basketball. He went from, you know, a long season right to the Olympics, and he had obviously a long playoff. I thought that he wore down a little bit. To me, they're right there. And Kevin Durant, again, is an unbelievable player. But to your point, he turns 34 in September. He's dealt with some injuries over the years. If you're going to tell me he's going to play 65 games, he'll be good for the playoffs, all right, that's a different story. But we don't know that. You know, it's going to be a gamble. I don't think it's as much of a no-brainer as maybe it would have been a year ago trading for Kevin Durant. I think under the circumstances where Boston is and how close they came to winning, I'm just not giving up everything to make this trade happen.
Yeah, and Frank, you know, before we let you go, how do you think people will look at KD if he once again left a team to join a team that beat him in the playoffs the previous season, like what happened when they lost to Golden State, when he was with OKC and lost to Golden State in the playoffs?
I think early on, people will say some of the same things that they said in Golden State, but 5, 10, 15 years from now, that stuff tends to wear off. And guys, let's say they win one title. People would say, Kevin Durant is a three-time champion. That's why I just wish he would stay in Brooklyn. Now, he's the one that wanted to play with Kyrie Irving. That seems to be where the issues are. But Brooklyn would still have a pretty good team. I have no idea what kind of player Ben Simmons is going to be this season, but they have talent there with Seth Curry, Joe Harris, and they'd have Kevin Durant on the team. I don't know why, how they got swept this year. You know, Boston did sweep them, and like I said, Kevin Durant didn't play well. I think in the short term, because we do have a lot of talk about legacy and things like that, but I don't know. 10 to 20 years from now, if he wins one more, everyone will say, Kevin Durant, three-time NBA champion. Yeah, some people will still bring up him going to these ready-made teams, but a lot of players have done that in the past. So I think it's just the way that the league operates now.
There he is. You can see him on Around the Horn. You can hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. He is Frank Iasola, kind enough to join Courtney Cronin and Mike Wells here on Canty and Carlin. Frank, thanks so much for the time.
Courtney and Mike, keep up the good work. I'll see you guys.
All right, brother, be good.
All right, teams are done or starting to report to training camp in the NFL, and we're going to find out if the Bills have done enough to finally get past the Chiefs when it matters most. That's next, Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Canty and Carlin.
Status quo isn't the sexiest of things in the NFL, nor is it usually expected when it comes to training camp, but that's what the Buffalo Bills are hoping for. They have one of the NFL's most complete rosters. They were 13 seconds away from getting to the AFC Championship game last year, and they're trying to run it back with an even stronger group than last year's roster in hopes of getting past the Chiefs and getting to the AFC title game and then to the Super Bowl. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells sitting in for the guys on this Monday afternoon. Let's tap in now with someone who knows the Bills well, Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us here on the CC call-in line. Diana, like, where is this team's confidence heading into the 2022 season?
Well, hello, Courtney. I've enjoyed watching you all over ESPN, which seems to be working every single shift. I'm not sure if they're giving you extra pay or what, but they need to. You've done a really phenomenal job. You know a little bit about everything and then a lot about everything.
Kevin Durant,
kind
again,
of insane
is an
how much knowledge you have. So, all right, let's talk Bills. So, and what a fun team to dive into, right? Because you can really pick any part of this Bills roster, and we could probably have a five-minute interview on each player just on the impact that they've made, because Brandon Bean, the GM, has done such a good job putting this roster together. And, you know, recently, actually, I did Buffalo Radio, and we were talking about the addition of Von Miller and what he can do, you know, to this defense, as, you know, he's looking to be the first player in NFL history to win three Super Bowls with three different teams, you know, which would be insane. And you know, the thing that just stands out to me is, forget Von Miller. Just take a look at this Bills defense without them. He makes them better without a question. But, you know, obviously that's a gigantic addition. But the Bills, they're just they're fine without him. They have that good of a defense. In fact, I think their head coach and defensive coordinator and Leslie Frazier, they've done such a great job, sometimes even a little overlooked, over the last few seasons of how they put that D together and the standard they hold them to. And that's something that that's probably like my biggest takeaway from covering the Bills even last season. Just when they disappointed and came out and made mistakes, they really held each other accountable. And the team carried that. That was something that was very different from what I saw from other teams when they made mistakes. A lot of pride there in Buffalo. So I can't believe I started off talking about their defense and not going into Josh Allen, obviously, and that electric offense. But to me, that's that little part of them that I think makes them unique and why they've been my pick all offseason to win the Super Bowl.
Well, good. You talk about stealing my next question, Diana, because you know, we on our call-in line today, we were going to ask who's the team to beat in the and what is a very loaded AFC, and clearly you're going with the Buffalo Bills as a team that can reach a Super Bowl. So let's segue and say, who was the team that can push them and represent the AFC instead of Buffalo?
Right, so I bring up Brandon Bean as the GM that put together a roster. Well, then I can't talk about a great GM and not talk about Kansas City's GM and what he's been able to do and how, yes, he's got Patrick Mahomes the way Buffalo has Josh Allen, but, you know, right now we're seeing some concern with some contract situations on their offensive line with Orlando Brown. And from the conversations I've had, that's going to get worked out. By the way, my pick is Kansas City, by the way, to answer your question. I just realized I didn't even answer your question. I just got excited to talk about the Chiefs. But I think the Chiefs are the other team. I think we're going to see this again, see them butt heads in the playoffs once again, because, look, I know Tyreek Hill is no longer there. That there's, I don't want to ever play that down because he's not just a player. He's not just a receiver. He was really Patrick's security blanket in so many different situations and moments, and you can't replicate that speed with the roster that they have. You know, but even just talking to some of those guys recently as camp is getting going, no one is worried about it. They're so past it, and there's always so much confidence in what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes can do, which is why I have the confidence, because you can sense, and you guys know this from covering the game, you can feel from conversations with players, especially ones that just are used to winning, when there's a little panic, when there's a little concern over a situation. They may not say it because they don't want you ever, you know, to put it on TV or write about it, but you know. And I just don't feel it when I've talked to Patrick or I've talked to any of the other players just about what they're doing. It's just they're just ready for the next challenge. And I think it's something good for the Chiefs. We saw them struggle with their offensive line in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay Bucks. They went out, they signed some studs, and they fixed that problem. Now that's really no longer an issue. So they fix the issues when they see them, and I don't think they see this as a big problem.
We're talking with Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us on Canty and Carlin. To that note, Diana, how does this Chiefs offense change with Tyreek Hill no longer a part of it? And you had mentioned some of the players they brought in, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Ronald Jones in this mix, too. It feels like they brought in, you know, some good reinforcements, but might have to tweak things around just a little bit offensively with Cheetah somewhere else.
Exactly. I've asked them. I was like, okay, paint this picture for me. Like, what is the Kansas City offense specifically? And it doesn't sound like we're going to go watch them this year and be like, whoa, like, what is this? You know, they're tweaking some of the things. They know that they can't replicate the speed. That's always like the lead. And when you talk to these guys about what's going to be different, they know that that Cheetah is not there, as you said. You know, but guys like Hardman are going to have to step in, and that's really the player that they're looking to. Again, not the same speed, but it's manageable when you have a Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to say you don't need it, but because Patrick can create so much with his legs and is so comfortable in the pocket and patient, and obviously just, you know, the whole athleticism that he has and the plays that he's able to come up with that we don't even know how he's able to do it sometimes, that becomes a weapon again, you know. And sometimes I don't want to say we forget about it, but because Cheetah was so good, you when you go back and watch some of it and you even talk to them, a lot of it's Patrick creating it. So just as long as they have him, I think there's that confidence that they're going to be able to not have to drastically change, and it's not going to look that different. That's what I've been able to gather here in late July. But we will see how much, you know, they will be tailoring this over the next, we'll say, month or two.
And you had mentioned Mecole Hardman's speed, 4.33 40 at the Combine in 2019. Also, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, no slouch in the speed department, too, 4.37 40 speed. That speed that you have to respect. So while they may not have the unicorn in Tyreek Hill, they've got other pieces that can help them stay where they were in the AFC and maybe even take a step further. As long as Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, you're probably in a good position to do that. She is Diana Russini. You will see her everywhere over the next month as training camp starts gearing up for all 32 NFL teams. The Bills already in training camp. The Chiefs are as well. We will keep it locked here on Canty and Carlin. Diana will be back, certainly, to help us break down all the top headlines as we wager on through the dog days of training camp. Diana, thanks so much.
Thanks. Can't wait for the Bears coverage. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We are looking forward to it, too. So real quick, Mike, Tyreek Hill made a really interesting comment today on First Take. He tapped in from Miami ahead of when the Dolphins are set to report. And he said that it was just interesting about Zach Wilson, because remember, he was going to go to the Jets or he was going to go to Miami. And he said that he really like respects Zach Wilson, thinks that he has a great, you know, a great tool set, but he wanted to play with the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. That is who he's referring to as Tua Tagovailoa. I hear you laughing, so I'd like to get your response to that.
I can only laugh about that. I mean, listen, it could come, you know, by week two or three where he says, man, I miss Patrick Mahomes, because the reality is Tua Tagovailoa is not even, he's not even guaranteed to be the franchise quarterback at Miami. So, listen, we'll see if Tyreek says that at the midpoint of the season still.
Tyreek Hill was not the only top wide receiver on the move this offseason. We'll hear from Davante Adams and what he had to say about his new quarterback in Vegas. That's next. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Canty and Carlin.
Ian Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells sitting in for the guys on this Monday afternoon. We wake up every day with two things on our plate: chance and choice. And according to Today in Sports, there's a series of tough choices that we all must have to make. And if you go to their Twitter account, at Today in Sports Co., there are 9 burgers that you have to choose from. Culver's, In-N-Out, McDonald's, Whataburger, Wendy's, Carl's Jr., Shake Shack, Burger King, and Five Guys. I'm going to go ahead and ask you, without having, you can't add any to the mix here, so you got to choose from this list. If you had to choose one of these fast food burgers, which you going with?
Man, I am going to, and I know people are going to be upset with me because everybody's going to say In-N-Out, just like our producer Evan, but we're not going to put him on blast quite yet. I am going to say I'm going with Shake Shack. I have fallen in love with Shake Shack's burger. It's simple. There's nothing special behind it. Give me a couple pieces of bacon, and I'm a happy man. And they're made fresh. Made fresh is the key. And simple. I'm not one of those fancy, over the top, need one of those 20 million different sauces. So okay. Shake Shack is my pick, Court.
All right. So I can understand that pick, and I've had Shake Shack before. It's quite good. There's different calibers of fast food burger, even within these 9. I mean, something like Wendy's is, you know, I know they like to talk about their fresh beef that they have, fresh, never frozen. That's a big deal. Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King fall into the fast food category. I think Shake Shack and Five Guys are that step above. I remember when I was in Charlotte covering the Vikings-Panthers game this past year, I went to Five Guys for dinner, and it took me 25 minutes to get my hamburger. Granted, there was a line, but it took me quite a while to get the burger that I had ordered. And yes, it tastes fresh. It is absolutely worth it. But when I'm looking for something that's a quick meal, and I used to do this when I covered high school sports in Mississippi, because Whataburger was open until 1 a.m. near my house, I would either get the honey butter chicken biscuit, or I'd go with the burger that is on this list of 9. It is a terrific, underrated cheeseburger. This one's a double meat one. I think you can also go with a single and watch your calories if that's like what you're looking at. But for me, it's Whataburger. So I guess both of us are kind of in the same realm, but I take it a step below because I want to go through the drive-thru and get it.
Well, you almost scared me when you said the honey butter chicken. I thought you were breaking the rules on that, Courtney.
But no.
Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't say In-N-Out. That's why you and I are homies, because you didn't say In-N-Out.
No In-N-Out, no mustard, animal sauce stuff for us. We like our burgers normal and with cheese. Kenny and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells, sitting in for the guys on this Monday afternoon. ESPN Radio is presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. So Devontae Adams has a new home after the Green Bay Packers franchise tagged him. Then they traded him to the Las Vegas Raiders. He gets reunited with his college teammate, Derek Carr. The two of them put up video game numbers in their last season together in 2013 at Fresno State. And that's what they're going to try to do this season in Las Vegas in arguably the hardest division in the NFL, in the AFC West. So training camp's already open for the Raiders, and Devontae Adams was interviewed by CBS Sports and talked about going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr.
I mean, anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, both are great players and great to be around. So I'm just enjoying that process and getting better myself, you know, trying to do as much as I can to help these guys go out there and win as many games as we can.
What?
So from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, we all know that Aaron Rodgers is in that category. Derek Carr, not quite, still a very good quarterback, but a quarterback who has not won a playoff game in his career. So, of course, these comments end up getting magnified, and Devontae Adams goes back to clarify what he meant at a press conference.
Being a rapper is very vital. I say one of the, you got to have the bars, obviously. You know you got to have the bars. You got to have, the lines got to be there. But a very, very vital and critical piece of being a rapper is the delivery, right? I wasn't a great rapper the other day. What I'm not going to do is take away from that statement, because why is Derek not a Hall of Famer, you know? But what I meant, I left one key word out of there because that's not exactly what I meant, but I do think that Derek's career is Hall of Fame worthy, and why not? I mean, you know, people can say that about this guy, that guy. What I would say is, does he have the MVPs right now? You know, no. Has he won a Super Bowl? Not yet. You know, that's obviously what we're chasing. But what I meant to say was, even if you go even Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's an adjustment. You know, I meant, like, even if it is Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, there's going to be an adjustment.
Or he could have just said from Hall of Fame quarterback to future Hall of Fame quarterback and then saved himself the rigmarole of having to explain what he just did. I think he would have been in a better place. I understand what he's doing here. He loves Derek Carr. I believe that he's the godfather to Derek Carr's children. Like, these two have a very storied past. They work out together every single offseason, and it's not just two guys that are lifting weights. Like, he's throwing to Devontae Adams, and Derek Carr right now is coming off a season where he threw for 4,800 yards. He's on the cusp of a 5,000-yard season. So much of that is going to be dependent upon the chemistry and the connection that he's able to build at the NFL level with Devontae Adams. But Mike...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's your takeaway with him kind of doubling down and saying that Derek Carr has had a Hall of Fame worthy career, even though we know he has not even won a playoff game?
Well, listen, Devontae would have been best saying a potential future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, couch it however you have to couch it. Like, use all of the words, like a rapper would.
Because, you know, obviously we know Aaron Rodgers, he's a shoo-in. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But I get it. He has history with Carr. And, you know, going back to, you know, when they were teammates at Fresno State, now he's going to be catching passes for him in the best division in football. And they got he's got a chance to elevate Derek Carr's resume even more. And even, you know, take him to say, well, you know what, after the season, Derek Carr is going to be a Hall of Famer. Not potential. That's what Devontae Adams is capable of doing this season. And listen, people, I've always felt like Derek Carr has been a very underrated quarterback in the NFL. I think he's better than what people believe what he's done so far in his career. Mm-hmm. Now we're really going to see it. Now that he's got that wide receiver to go with Hunter Renfrow in the slot and having Josh McDaniels as his head coach, I think Derek Carr is going to elevate his game even further. And then this time next year, I think if Devontae Adams was asked about Derek Carr, he won't have to say potential Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
The last time we saw these two on the field, 2013, which would have been Carr's last year at Fresno State. I believe that was a redshirt sophomore year for Devontae Adams. 131 catches for 1,719 yards and 24 touchdowns for Devontae Adams. Video game numbers, which might not be replicated as easily in the NFL, considering you are going against NFL defenses and not FBS defenses, but nonetheless, Devontae Adams is going to make Derek Carr a better quarterback. And on top of that, you saw the production that Derek Carr had with Hunter Renfrow last year. Renfrow caught 80% of the passes that Derek Carr threw to him, and that very much is on the wide receiver, but it's also on the chemistry and the placement of the ball that Derek Carr had built with Hunter Renfrow last year. So I do think, to your point from earlier, like the offense with Josh McDaniels, everything else that's going to be coming his way, Devontae Adams is actually in a better situation with the Vegas Raiders than he would have been had he stayed with Aaron Rodgers, and thinking that out long term, had he stayed in Green Bay. Coming up next, we're going to get Chris Canty's thoughts on this and ask him why he thinks the Chiefs actually have a better wide receiver core without Tyreek Hill. That's next.